We're reading from the Old Testament tonight, the book of Exodus, chapter 9. We want to read from verse 13, and we'll read down to verse 26. Book of Exodus, and chapter 9, and commencing at verse 13. Exodus chapter 9, verse 13. And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now will I stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee, and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. Behold, tomorrow, about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle, and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field, shall not be brought home. The hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man and upon beast, upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail, and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, and all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field, and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his word tonight to our hearts from this chapter. There's two verses that we want to really base what we have to say tonight around. Verses 20 and 21 out of this chapter. Exodus chapter 9, verses 20 and 21. It says, He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into his houses, flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. And I want to consider tonight what it is to be saved by regarding the word of God. And you'll see that that word regard there, or regarded, is found in verse 21. Saved by regarding the word of God. Let's take a moment and seek the Lord for his help as we come to his word. Our Father, we do come now, and the word of God is open before us. We have read the scriptures tonight. Now we need help from heaven as we meditate upon them. These are the very words of the living God. And Lord, these are records of that which took place in ancient times. And there are lessons for us. There are principles, O God, that are applicable tonight, as they were away back in Egypt all those years ago. And we pray that thou will come and bless thy word to us now, as we consider it here in this place. May it live in our hearing. Apply it to our hearts. Teach us, Lord, what it is to regard the word of God. Have mercy. Give us help now from heaven. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. Grant it to us, we pray. We look to thee in Jesus' name. Amen. The plague of hail was the seventh out of the ten that came upon the land of Egypt. And the portion that we have read tonight is connected with the seventh plague, the plague of hail. Now Pharaoh had repeatedly failed to give any heed to the command of the Lord and to let Israel go that they might serve him. His response to the word of God was conveyed to Moses there in chapter 5 of Exodus, verse 2. Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And that indicates to us something of the hardness of this man's heart. And as a result of that hardness, the Lord left Pharaoh's heart to harden to the place where it became obstinate against God. And the Lord was then going to display his mighty power in this most haughty king. If you go back there to verse 16 of the portion that we have read, it says, "And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, that my name may be declared throughout all the earth." The Lord was going to show to Pharaoh that he was only that, just a haughty despot, and just a creature of the clay, and that God was going to do mighty things. And although this man was determined not to let Israel go, he was determined not to obey the Lord, he was not going to recognize the Lord's authority in any way, Pharaoh was going to discover eventually that the word of the Lord will prevail. And one plague after another came upon the land until, as we know, the 10th plague, the plague of the firstborn, and Pharaoh and the Egyptians pleaded with Israel to leave the land before they were determined that he would not let them go at all, but eventually he was made to plead with them to leave the land. Now, as Pharaoh suffered the plagues, Pharaoh and the Egyptians suffered the plagues, there were times that he did consent to let Israel go. It seemed as if his heart was softening, and he would relent and he would eventually let Israel go. But as soon as Moses would go out and pray to the Lord to cause the plague to cease, it tells us that Pharaoh hardened his heart. If you go back there to chapter 8 and look at verse 28, it says, "Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me." And this comes after the plague of the flies, the swarm of flies that came upon the land. And so grievous was that, that Pharaoh, it seems as if he's going to relent, and he's going to say to Israel, "You can go, I'll let you go, I'll let you serve the Lord, just don't go too far away, but I'll let you go." And he's looking for Moses to entreat for him. And Moses knows very well what Pharaoh's going to do. But look at verse 32 then. It says, this is after the swarm of flies has been removed, as it tells you there in verse 31. Then the next verse says, "Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go." So there were times it seems as if his heart was softening, but it was only a cunning plan on his part to get the plague to cease, and then as soon as it ceased, he hardened his heart and he was determined not to let them go. Here is a man who is obstinate and hard of heart against the Lord and will not in any way give in to the word of the Lord. But not all the Egyptians were like that. And that brings us to what we want to consider this evening, these words, verses 20 and 21 of chapter 9. Not all the Egyptians were of the same spirit as Pharaoh. There were some there who acted and thought differently to this haughty king. They realized that Pharaoh, by his obstinate refusal to obey the Lord, was going to bring destruction upon the land of Egypt, and the land would be brought down to wreck and ruin. And instead of obeying the word of Pharaoh, instead of obeying their king, they were going to obey the word of the Lord. They were going to have regard for the word of God. And it tells us here in verse 20 particularly, "He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses." There were those who would listen. There were those who would take on board, who would take heed to what the Lord had said, even though Pharaoh was going to go on obstinately refusing to have anything to do with the word of God. We want to think, as I say tonight, about being saved by regarding the word of God. The first thing I want you to notice here is the message that was contained in the word of the Lord. Because it tells you there, that's the description that is given for this message that was conveyed through Moses from the Lord. "He that feared the word of the Lord." This is how it is defined. It's defined as the word of the Lord. And that word, this particular time, was another plague that was coming. This time it was going to be the plague of hail that was going to come upon the land. But there is a message that is sent from the Lord, and this is how it is described, and this is how it is defined. It is called the word of the Lord. And this message was being delivered to Pharaoh, delivered to the nation. His servants were going to hear it. Moses and Aaron were in and out of the royal court
of Pharaoh. They were going to hear the message. Eventually, the servants in the royal court were going to hear the message of what Moses had to say from the Lord. Because if you go back to verse 13 where we started our reading, the Lord said unto Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go that they may serve me, for I will at this time send all my plagues upon my heart." So Moses and Aaron were going and speaking with Pharaoh and conveying the message to Pharaoh, and therefore there were those in the royal court, these servants that are mentioned in verse 20 and 21. They're servants there, and they get to hear this message. But it is defined here in verse 20 as the word of the Lord. This is what they are going to have regard for, or have no regard for, whatever way they're going to act. But within this message that is described here as the word of the Lord, there is the thought of judgment, evidently, that is coming upon the land. Moses is forewarning them that there's more judgment coming upon this land. How gracious and merciful the Lord is, even in his judgments upon the land of Egypt, that he would tell Pharaoh and tell his servants before the judgment would come what it was that was going to happen. He was giving fair warning. He was telling them, if there is no obedience, if there's no relenting, if you go on in your stubbornness and your resistance of the word of God, and you refuse that command to let my people serve me, this is what's going to happen. And we can see a parallel of the gospel there that is to be preached among the nations of the earth, not just the word of the Lord at that time coming to one nation and to Pharaoh and the royal court, but the gospel is to be preached to all the nations of the earth with the very same thought that the Lord is forewarning and foretelling. This is what's going to happen if there is not an obedience to the gospel, if there's not a yielding to it and a coming to know the Lord and an acknowledging of the Lord, then here's the consequence, here's the judgment that's going to follow. So there is a parallel here between what we think and read with regards to this plague of hail coming upon the land of Egypt and even in our own times and the gospel going forth. You see, the Lord was warning here about a particular judgment that was coming, the plague of hail. When you go over to Revelation chapter 16, and if you look at verse 21, you discover there that there's going to be a judgment of hail that will come upon this world once more. Revelation chapter 16, verse 17 talks about the seventh angel pouring out his vial into the air. And verse 18 talks about the voices, the thunders, the lightnings, the great earthquake, so great that there's never been the like of it before. And we've read words similar to that in our Bible reading tonight, where the Lord said there was a judgment coming upon the land, the like of which Egypt had never seen. Well, here's judgment as well, not only coming upon a land, but coming upon the world, the like of which has never been seen. Verse 19 begins to talk about the great city Babylon and what will happen to it. But look at verse 21. It says, "And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great." So Revelation there tells us and warns us that there is a future day coming when there's a plague of hail that's going to fall upon this world. And surely then, when we come back to Exodus chapter 9 and read about the plague of hail here and the circumstances that are found here, there's bound to be parallels. There has to be. When we read about a plague of hail in Exodus chapter 9 and we discover this is what's going to happen someday yet future in the world when God is going to judge this world with hail, there has to be parallels. There has to be lessons to be learned. And when we think here in Exodus 9 about the word of the Lord, this is the message. The message is that they are to flee to the place of safety. If you go back to Exodus 9, verse 19, it says, "Send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field." They're to gather them in, that they might not die, as the verse goes on to say. It says, "For upon every man and beast which shall not be found in the field, which shall be found in the field, and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die." So here's this word of the Lord, this message from God that is conveyed through Moses to the Pharaoh and the people of the day, his servants particularly, that they are to go and gather them in, and if they're not gathered in, then the hail is going to fall upon them, and they're going to die. They have to be brought to the place of safety. In verse 9, this place of safety is identified as the houses. They have to gather them into the houses. There's going to be houses for the cattle. There's going to be the houses for the servants as well to live in. But they have to be gathered into the houses. This is the place of safety. It's identified. This is a place where they have to be gathered into. It can't be some little shelter in the field where they may have sheltered at other times. There would have been times of heavy rain in the rainy seasons. There's not the same type of climate as we're used to here in this part of the world. But as we know in the eastern part, the Bible talks about the early and the latter rain. There would have been heavy seasons of rain, and there may well have been places for the servants to shelter in the fields, but that's not sufficient. They have to get home to the house. There is identifying here of the very place where they have to be found if they're going to be safe. And surely we can see an illustration of the gospel there. There's a place identified where men and women are to flee and to find safety. It's interesting to notice in Ephesians chapter 2 that the salvation is described as a dwelling. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses there at the end of that chapter. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20. It speaks about the household of God that's built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And the whole work of salvation and redemption and the people of God who are saved, they're all here likened unto a building. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone of this building. It's all built on him. And this is the place of safety that's identified in the gospel that sinners are to flee to. That men and women tonight who are in danger of the judgment of God falling upon them, this is the place that they're to flee to. It's identified in the gospel. It's not some shelter of their own making that will never stand the test in the judgment day. But it is a place that is particularly identified that they are to flee to and to find themselves safety. It tells you there as well that they are to send. Therefore now, if we go back to Exodus 9 verse 19, send therefore now. It's something that is to be done in haste. There's to be no delay in this matter at all. And again, we can see how the gospel is illustrated here. There's a haste that is needed to flee to Christ, that souls might be in danger. The word of God is clear. We're back here to this description that is given of this whole message. It's the word of the Lord, but it's clear. The place is identified. The judgment that is coming is identified. The fact that they need to act with haste is identified. All of these things are clear within this message. And all of those are features that come out of the gospel as well. The gospel identifies that there's judgment coming. The gospel identifies a place to flee to. The gospel identifies the fact that there's haste that is needed on the part of the unconverted soul, that they find themselves in Christ and in the place of safety. So here's the word of the Lord. The second thing I want you to consider is those that regarded the word of the Lord. Because we're informed that this did happen. Verse 20, he that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. So there were those who heard this message, who heard what Moses had to say. And even though Pharaoh was determined he's not going to listen, he's going to harden his heart, he's not going to act with haste, there were those who did. There were those who obeyed. There were those who listened and took heed and did something about it. They sent word, or else they went themselves, and they brought their cattle and their servants in from the fields into the places of safety. They made them to flee into the houses, it says. A command was given. These are servants, remember, of Pharaoh, and they're now commanding their own servants. So it's servants of servants, really, that's here in view. These servants of Pharaoh go and tell their own servants, you're no longer to leave, to linger in the field, but you're to get into the place of safety because of what is happening. There needs to be this regarding of the word of the Lord. And true regarding of the word of God is acting. It's action that is required. Remember the parable that the Savior told that illustrates this point, Matthew 21 and verse 28, where the Savior said, what think ye? A certain man had two sons. He came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. He came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. And then the Lord asked the question, whether of them twain did the will of his father? And they said unto him the first. It's action that is required. It's not words, it's not fine sentiments that somebody might say, oh, I agree with that, I understand that. It's action that is required. And these servants of Pharaoh, when they heard what Moses had to say, this word of the Lord that Moses brought to them, when they heard that, they did something, they acted upon it, and they went and got their servants in out of the field, got them into the place of safety. It is action that is required. It is action that proves whether we have regarded the word of God or not. It's not some fine, even expression of words that would indicate that somehow we are in agreement with the message, but we never do anything. Was that not that individual there in the parable? He was told to go work today in the vineyard, and he said he would go. He didn't. Oh, he uttered words that give the impression that he was in agreement with the command, but he never did anything about it. And for all the words that came out, and all the professions that he would go, he never did go. It was actions that were required, and he never did anything. Whereas that man who initially said he wouldn't go, repented and did go. It's actions that's required, not fine words that somehow we are in agreement with this message. It's actions that count. And the actions count here with regards to Pharaoh's servants. You see, in verse 20 of Exodus 9, it tells us that they feared the word of the Lord. That's the key. They feared the word of the Lord. They had regard for it. They regarded the truthfulness of it. They regarded the accuracy of it. They had a reverence for this word. They realized that this word was going to come to pass. That no matter what Pharaoh said, no matter what he did, this word was still going to come to pass. They feared the word of the Lord. They believed this word was going to come to pass. And when there was the warning of the plague of hail and the warning to go out and get your servants in, they acted on it because they feared the word of the Lord. It's not the one thing that's lacking today in the hearts and minds of many people. They hear the word of God, but they don't fear it. They don't fear it. It's fear that causes people to act. That fear of God's word, that acknowledgement of the truthfulness of it and the accuracy of it. And they do something then in the light of it. That's real fearing the word of God. And that's what saved these men's cattle and these men's servants. Was that they were those who feared the word of the Lord, and they acted upon it. And again, that is brought out in the Gospel, brought out in the New Testament. If you turn over to the letters to the church of Thessalonica, let's go to 2 Thessalonians for a moment. Just notice how some of these principles are borne out in New Testament Gospel preaching. 2 Thessalonians 1, and look at verse 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. We're breaking in here to maybe we'll just go back and read some verses prior to this. Because look at verse 7, because the context here is of judgment. Verse 7 talks about the Lord being revealed from heaven with his holy angels. And flaming fire, verse 8, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel, verse 9, who will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And then verse 10 introduces to us these individuals who were safe. Just like as it was in Egypt, there were people who were safe, who didn't suffer the judgment of hail that was coming upon them. Why? Well, look at verse 10. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. What a difference there from the previous verses where there's judgment coming upon individuals. And what is the difference? Well, look at these words in parenthesis. It says, because our testimony among you was believed. This is what makes the difference. And Paul puts this little snippet of information in here just to identify why it was that there were individuals who were going to be spared this judgment that is spoken of there in verses 7, 8, and 9 that's coming upon the world. They're going to be spared. They're going to escape. Why are they going to escape? Because they believed the testimony that Paul preached, the message that Paul preached, the word of the Lord that Paul preached among the. If we take the language of Exodus 9, we could say, here are people who feared the word of the Lord. Our testimony among you was believed. Our preaching, our witnessing, our warnings were believed. And you are going to escape this judgment that will yet fall upon the world because you believe the word. Go back to 1 Thessalonians 2 now. And let's fill in the details a little more here on this point. 1 Thessalonians, this time chapter 2, verse 13. It says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Now tie up those two verses together. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 10, where Paul says, "Our testimony among you was believed." That's the reason why you're spared. That's the reason why the judgment is not going to fall upon you. You believed our testimony. And here he gives us some further details of it. And how he rejoices. He says, "Ye received the word of God." Well, we're talking about the word of the Lord in Exodus 9. Paul's here talking about a people who received the word of God. And when they received it, he says, "You didn't receive it as the word of men." No, you didn't look upon it just as the word of men. Because then it could be discarded and have no regard for it all if you just thought it was the word of men. But he says, "You believed it as it is in truth, the word of God." You believed it as the word of God. And that's why this people will be spared. It's because they have believed the word of God. They have feared the word of God. And they have acted accordingly. That's what the sinner must do. And sadly, that's the one thing that is so lacking today, is people hear the word of God, but they have no fear of it. They have no regard for it. We live in a day when people have no regard for the word of God. They put no value on it. They put no worth on it. They do not believe the accuracy of it and the truthfulness of it. They don't believe it's going to come to pass. It's just a lovely story. And that's all it is to them. It's just a lovely story. But they'll never be saved until they fear the word of God. Until they come to believe it and receive it. The last thing I want us to consider here back in Exodus 9 is those that regarded not the word of God. Because that's highlighted as well for us in the next verse, verse 21. "And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field." So here's the other side. Here's those who are going to act the same as Pharaoh. Pharaoh's acting stubbornly. He's refusing to obey. He's not going to countenance the word of God at all. And there are those in Pharaoh's court who are just like him. They're going to take their example from Pharaoh. They too are going to act with stubbornness and with hard-heartedness. They're going to refuse to have anything to do with the word of God. So there are those among the servants, and they are going to regard his word, the word of God. There are others among the servants who are not going to regard the word of God. But is Pharaoh's court not a microcosm of society at large in any day? Well, there's those who have hardened their heart today and not believe. But there will be a people who will believe. There will be a people who will regard the word of God. And as there was this division in Pharaoh's court, there's those who will believe, there's those who won't believe. So there is among men and women at large. There are those who will believe, there are those who won't believe. I remember hearing the illustration, it was a true story of an evangelist. I think he was with the Faith Mission, if I remember correctly, hearing the story. But he told the story about preaching at a mission. How they were singing that hymn with a chorus, "I do believe, I will believe that Jesus died for me." And a man stood in that meeting and he sung it with as loud a voice as he could. "I will not believe, I do not believe." So that everybody in the meeting could hear him. And he was determined to let others know that he would have been having no part of this gospel, and no reception of it would ever be found in his heart or his life. Well, there are those in Pharaoh's court, and they're just like that. Here are people, and they hear the message, and there's six plagues that have already gone before, and if they were wise enough to think, well, this man announced the word of God, and these plagues that were coming, and every one of them have come, and now he's announcing another one, and he's telling us to get to the place of safety. Even in the light of all of that, there's those who are stubbornly, and it tells you there in Exodus 9:21, they regarded not the word of the Lord. They're determined not to have anything to do with it. Is that not a picture of society today? There's people who stubbornly today will not believe, who defiantly will not believe and have regard for the word of God. And because they wouldn't believe the word and regard the word of the Lord, they left their servants and their cattle in the place of danger. They were going to suffer great loss. They were going to suffer great loss. Their cattle now were in the place of danger, their servants as well, and the message has already been conveyed back there in verse 19, "For upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them and they shall die." That's the consequence. And here are these servants, and they're determined. They're not going to believe, they're not going to have any regard for the word of God, and they're going to suffer great loss. They're going to be found. Their cattle and their servants are going to be found in the place of danger. There's going to be no haste on their part, no concern. They're going to busy themselves with other things. Doesn't it all sound so familiar with the day in which we live? The spirit of hardness, the spirit of resistance and rejection that there is today, or the gospel. It's the spirit of the days of Pharaoh. It's the same attitude that was found in Pharaoh that's abroad today, of people who will not hear. Even when the evidence says everything else would tell them that they ought to believe. But they will not. And soon the opportunity was gone. Verse 22, "The Lord said unto Moses, Stretch forth thy hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man and upon beast and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt." There was only a season of opportunity to obey. And then the Lord says to Moses, "Stretch forth your hand." You've got the message, you've gone into Pharaoh, you've conveyed it to him and to his servants, you've told them what they need to do. The opportunity to obey and to act is now over. Stretch forth your hand, Moses, and bring heal upon the land. The opportunity for obedience is gone. Gone forever. The Lord is able to spare a people. If we go down to verse 26 here, because we've thought there about the hail coming upon the land of Egypt, even all the land of Egypt, verse 22 has it like that, but verse 26 says, "Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail." God is able to spare a people. God is able to save a people. And though there are those who will not hear, and they will not regard the word of God, and they defiantly go on, and they miss the opportunity to get to the place of safety, the Lord will have a people whom he will save, and he will spare, and he will keep. And may we be those who are found among that people. They're called there the children of Israel. They're found among the children of Israel. May we be found among the children of Israel. In the spiritual sense, we are those who belong to the Lord. We've heard his word. We've acted upon it. And in acting upon it, we have spared our souls a great loss. May the Lord make us those who regard his word. May we fear the word of God. It delivers us from troubles. It delivers us from dangers. It safeguards our souls. And we are those who regard his word. May that be true of every one of us tonight. May we be those who can say in our heart of hearts, "I'm someone who desires to fear the word of God. I believe it and I act upon it." It'll save our souls. It'll deliver us from trouble. May the Lord bless his word tonight to our hearts.